Welcome to another episode of Successful Inventing. I'm your host, Ken Johnson. Welcome. Today, we're going to discuss part two of the title, Successful Inventing. And I'm going to take, this is part two of the subject, the Simple Plan. Six easy steps to make millions from your ideas. Last week we had part one where we discussed the first three steps of the Simple Plan. And today we'll discuss steps four, five, and six. Now to review, before we get started with today's segment, last week we discussed the first three steps, and those steps being research evaluation, that's step one, step two being a prototype, and then step three being product evaluation. Now, those are all the critical steps in the first half of the effort to bring your invention to market. And step one being the most critical, that's researching your concept before you spend a whole lot of money. And in my book, The Simple Plan, which covers all six steps, I discuss how to do the research evaluation and do it cost effectively and do it effectively so that you can determine if your invention has commercial potential before you spend a lot of money. And then, of course, I get into steps two and three, which are critical as well. But all six of them that I'm outlining should be done in the order I've detailed. You don't do step one, a research evaluation, after you've done a prototype and applied for a patent. You actually do that step, number one, before you do anything else, a research evaluation. Then you build a prototype where prototypes are possible for you to build. And I discuss how to determine if you should build a prototype or not. In most cases, you should. Unless it's very, very expensive to build your prototype. And in the book, I discuss how you can obtain the funds to build a prototype that's very, very expensive. And I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars. Most prototypes, however, can be built for, in some cases, a few dollars or a few hundred dollars if done correctly. And I discuss all of that in the book. And then step three is again the product evaluation, and that's where you're evaluating the prototype you've built and the product it will become, and how to determine among 50 different criteria how to determine if your invention is now ready for market. So today we'll discuss steps four, five, and six. And all of these steps are critical in the path to bringing your product to market. And so that's why I encourage you to listen in here today. And if you get an opportunity, go to Amazon and buy my book, The Simple Plan, Six Easy Steps to Make Millions from Your Ideas. So today let's get into it. Now, step four of The Simple Plan is to engage in applying for a provisional patent and filling out that application. Now, a PPA or a provisional patent application is only important if you want to get a patent or ultimately apply for a utility patent on your invention. Now, in a lot of cases, a patent is not necessary and maybe not even be advisable. And I discussed that in the book, how to determine if, in fact, you should even be applying for a patent. What are the appropriate times to do so? And what types of products should you apply a patent for a patent? But a PPA is not a patent. It's simply a provisional application that is simply primarily a placeholder of the date for your to follow utility application. So in other words, if you file your provisional application on February 1st, you have 1 year from that application date to file your regular utility application. If you don't file within that year, your provisional application is set aside. if you do file within that year, then the patent office, let's say you file 8 months later, your regular application, after 8 months after you file the PPA, the patent office will essentially backdate your regular application to the date of the provisional. So that kind of gives you a placeholder of your date, securing your application date through the PPA, but filing your regular application sometime later, within a year. So that's the purpose of the provisional patent application. Primarily, it provides you a date that is your will be the date of your future regular application. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to filing a PPA, which I get into the book, in the book, and I think you will find it important and helpful to understand the PPA in detail. But again, this is only for those inventors out there that are ultimately going to seek a patent. And in step one of the simple plan, I discussed doing patent research, which is critical. You want to make certain that you're not infringing on someone else's patent. You could be wasting your time developing a product that's already been patented by someone else. So in step one, you'll do that research to make sure you're not infringing. And in this step, after you've done steps one, two, and three, in this step number four, you'll actually file your provisional application for a regular application that will follow later. Now, I generally don't advise people to run out to the patent office prematurely because the patents can be very expensive. And I know many, many people, inventors with patents, and they don't have a commercial product. They've spent tens and thousands of dollars. I know one gentleman who spent over $30,000 on patents and never got that product to market. He had not built a prototype before he filed the applications. And after getting his patent, which he thought was the end all be all, he found that he could not bring that product to market. It was not commercially viable. He didn't even know what it would cost to build it. So those are the kinds of problems people face when they prematurely go to the patent office without doing their homework, without examining the commercial viability of their invention. So I want you to avoid that. But if, however, everything is right, you've done all the steps outlined in my book, and you truly have a product with commercial viability and a patent is appropriate, then at this stage, step four, you should file a PPA. Now, step five of the simple plan is what I call intellectual property registration. Now, this includes filing your regular utility application. It also includes other intellectual property, such as trademarks and copyrights. There are other intellectual properties that you could call them trade secrets. There are various forms of patents and what have you. But the three major IP is a patent, it's a trademark, and it's a copyright. Now, a copyright may not be appropriate for utility products, and a lot of copywritten material is not appropriate to try to get a patent on them. Example might be a book. A book is something you'd copyright. You don't get a patent on a book. Most game instructions are, well, in fact, all game instructions are something you would copyright. You don't seek a patent for game instructions or gameplay, generally speaking. So the book helps you determine, my book helps you determine when it's appropriate to file certain intellectual property, what's appropriate for various products or product categories and what have you. So that's step number five of the simple plan. You must file for intellectual property. And intellectual property rights are, in my view, very critical when it comes to licensing your invention. You have to own something in order to license it. You can't rent a home to people that you don't own. So generally speaking, you can't get a license agreement for a product that you don't have intellectual property for. And that could be as minimal as the trademark for the name, but it could be as expansive as the patented product and the copywritten material. So you want to try to get an IP in order to get a license agreement. And those are the three primary IP sources or things that you will own, either a patent, a copyright, or a trademark. You don't necessarily need all three, but you usually want at least two. You will usually seek a trademark on the name of the product, and then you'll either have a copyright associated with it or a patent. So that's step five of the simple plan, intellectual property registration. Now, step six of the simple plan is license/venture. This is the final step. So this is after you've done all the research. In step one, you know you have a viable product. Step two, you have built a prototype, and it works. It's determined to be more effective, more efficient, or less costly than its competing solutions. And that's very critical. Step three is when you evaluate the product that you've developed. That's evaluating it against competition, evaluating it in the marketplace, getting feedback from users. And there are about 50 aspects that I outline in my book that you'll want to look at and compare them and see how your product matches up with these 50 criteria. It could be anything as simple as usability. It could be as simple as its costliness or inexpensive nature compared to its competition, etc. Those are part of the things you'll evaluate in step three of the simple plan. Step four we discussed today, and that is if you have a product that you want to patent in the future, then you can file a provisional patent application to get your place in line, essentially by securing the date through the provisional application of a utility application that will follow within a year. And now step five was filing for other intellectual property, and that could be the regular patent application, it could be a trademark, or it could be a copyright, or it could be some combination of those. Now at this point, we'll discuss step six, license or venture. Now this is quite a lengthy chapter in the book because you have two options here to bring your product to market. You could license your invention, and that means essentially renting it, if you will, to a manufacturer who will produce it and distribute it and then pay you a royalty. That's what a license agreement is. Or you could venture or build a business around your invention and bring it to market yourself. That's what I call venturing. Both of these options have pros and cons, and I get into detail in the book. To give you an example, to license your invention, a pro is that you don't have any business risk, you don't have any ongoing cost in doing this, and you have freedom and peace of mind. You can do whatever you want to do and can pursue other inventions or continue in your career and just get checks in the mail, essentially. That's what a license is, and that's a great advantage. The downside to the license is you won't be able to build a business or legacy of a business, but the upside is a licensed product that has longevity is also a legacy that you can pass on to your offspring or your heirs. The other downside to a license is you lose control for the most part of the invention. Your licensee will generally have control and be able to determine where it's going and how it's going to work in the marketplace, etc. So you lose some control, or most of your control, but there are things you can do to try to maintain some control, but it's not usually that critical to do so if you've got a good licensing or licensed partner. Now, on the venturing side, there are pros and cons as well. Some of the pro is, again, you can build a business and a legacy. You will make, generally speaking, more money than you would as a licensee, which is good. But the cons are, is you have business risk. You need a lot of resources, both financial and otherwise. You have to have some experience. You must gain it very quickly in the marketplace and how to produce and distribute your product, how to deal with retailers, how to sell it to retailers, shipping and dealing with inventory. There are a lot of things involved in venturing your invention. Now, for those of you out there that have experience running a business, maybe venturing is a way to get started with your invention, prove its viability, and then license it later. But for those of you who don't have business experience or don't have the resources necessary to launch a business, it's better to license. And 95% of the inventors I deal with, I encourage them to license their invention because it's less risky. And it's better to deal with a company that already has distribution and manufacturing in place, and they can go out and immediately get it into retailers, and certainly can do it much faster than you can as a startup. So that's the important thing to keep in mind about venturing your invention. Again, sometimes venturing is the only option because you can't find a licensee, or licensees are not interested because it's, in their mind, unproven. Well, I guess, in fact, it's unproven in the marketplace, so they don't want to take a chance on it. So sometimes you have no option to license, and so venturing is really your only option, and you could try that. And then once it's successful, you can decide, okay, do I keep venturing, or do I now license? Once your invention is proven in the marketplace, getting a licensee is no problem. It's that unproven invention in the marketplace that has a little more challenge in finding a licensee. So these are things you can determine for yourself. And particularly if you don't have a licensing option, then venturing is the way to go. It's pretty much the only way to go. But for most inventors, you will probably find a licensee. You will definitely find a licensee if you have a good invention. If there are usually companies in every industry that will seek licensing deals, they will seek innovation outside of their company. And they, many of them have processes in place because they encourage it. There are very few industries where there are not licensee potential or license potential. Most industries have that potential. But if for some reason you can't find a licensee, or you've been rejected by licensees in your industry, then venturing may be your only option. However, the fact that your invention has been rejected by all the experienced people in the industry may give you pause. It may tell you the commercial viability simply is not there. So you have to think this through before you jump into the waters of venturing. So that's step 6 of the simple plan, license/venture. So I want to thank you for listening. My book, The Simple Plan, is available on Amazon, and it goes into obviously much more detail than we've outlined in these two episodes. But I want you to think about these things and encourage you that as you go down the road of inventing, you take the time and follow these 6 steps. Be very careful and cautious about spending money. There are many ways to spend and waste a lot of money in developing an invention. And I want to encourage you to be very cautious. At the same time, I want to encourage you to pursue your invention. Start with the market evaluation, market research I discussed in step 1 of the simple plan. It will help you determine, is there light at the end of the rainbow? Does this invention have commercial viability, commercial a commercial chance of success. That's what step one will help you determine. And if you're honest with yourself in step one, it could save you a lot of heartache and wasted money by pursuing an invention that has no potential. However, step one will also help you to reveal that potential and show you the desire in the marketplace for a solution that your problem, a solution to the problem that your invention resolves. So take these steps, do them in order, and remember, I want to encourage you, as I always do, to be cautious, but be optimistic in your approach to bringing your invention to market. So thanks for listening, and this is Ken Johnson, and I wish you successful inventing.